I really like those old songs. Made me kind of feel like I was a young person again. We sang those songs all the time. Anybody in here remember being young? Have you stayed the same? Has anything changed? Six years ago, this fit really good. I can't tell you how tight that is on my arm, like a tourniquet. You know, I gotta take this off. I've got furniture disease now. My chest fell down in my drawers. It's times change. Things change. Talking to a lot of you through the years, I've understood that there's a lot of difficulties that go on in our lives. This morning I was talking to several people that have a lot of difficulties going on in their lives. A lot of things that are weighing down on them. And you know, at 42 or 3, I don't even remember how old I am. I'm a 68 model, do the math. The older I get, the more pressures are pushing down on me. The more responsibilities I have. The more life situations happen. Do you know what I'm talking about? I thought about what the Apostle Paul had said, and I want to read this to you. You can turn there if you'd like. It's 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 22 through 28. Paul's talking to these some folks here who had been pretty proud and arrogant and that sort of thing. And he answers back and he says, I'm almost foolish to speak this way, but he says, let me tell you about my life. Okay, well, listen to Paul, how do you see your life? Does your letter jacket fit? Listen to this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That was happening in Lystra, if you read the book of Acts. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst often, without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, Paul says there's a daily pressure on me of the concern for all the churches. Paul had some pressure pushing down on him, didn't he? Well, I've had some pressure lately. You have pressure. I got to thinking about this and I thought, you know, we really ought to take a look at the book of James, chapter 1, as it talks a little bit about this, because I want to see what it is that we need to do about pressure. Starting in verse 2, and coincidentally, if you get a chance through the week, you ought to read the rest of James. Talk about a salve for the soul. Talk about some light to your feet. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the test or testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What do you do when you get stressed? You put on your letter jacket and there's a 4-inch gap in the front. What do you do when you see your kids having problems? What do you do when your marriage is falling apart? What do you do when your kids are getting divorced? What do you do when you can't make the payment on your heating bill? I just want to let the Apostle Paul answer that in short before I dive into this text, okay? Philippians, the book of Philippians. Now I want you to keep in mind the encumbrances of life that weighed down on Paul. And I want you to hear what he says through the inspiration of the Word, okay? Here's what he says. He says, starting in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Always. Always be of a joyful spirit. Well, you know what, Paul? There's times when I just don't feel very joyful. Paul says to Dan, I know what you're saying. Been there, know all about it. But you need to have joy in all things. Now, here's his recipe for it, okay? Starting in the next verse, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Not just some things. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like peace. I'm addicted to peace. Oh, that frame of mind where you just feel good. Your letter jacket buttons, you look great. You feel good when things are going your way, when life seems rough. Don't you like the feeling of peace? The Apostle Paul here is saying, look, I know life is full of difficulties, but you can obtain peace. You can get rid of the anxiety. You can let the worry go if you'll lay it at the Father's feet. Tell the Father about it. He knows your life. He's the one, Romans 8, that says He'll work all things together for good to those that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. He knows your situation. There are people in the Lord's church, even, that believe that God, it was even said to me this morning, There are people who believe that God is a distant God. He put us here to work out our little thing, our choice, and He'll see us on the far end of things. He's not active and involved in our day. There are Christians that think that, okay? That's not our God. You hear me, church? That's not our God. Our God knows everything about us. He knows our difficulties. He knows our life circumstances. He knows what tempts us. He knows our weaknesses. And He wants us to lay them all at His feet. Now, with that in mind, the book of James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Man, I struggle with that. When a trial comes my way, you know, man, why is this happening to me? Why couldn't it happen to that guy over there? Well, why is it happening? Did this have to happen now? How can I possibly deal with it? Woe is me. You ever been to a pity party? One you threw yourself? They're the best kind. I'm joking, okay? But we have been there, haven't we? When we don't pause to do what James said. Now listen, James. James chapter 1, verse 2, first word, consider it. Consider. What does it mean to consider? It has to do with your perception of things. It means that we have control over our thought processes. Man, I fall short of that sometimes. I rush into the pity party and I forget to stop and say, I have an ability to make a choice about how I'm going to perceive this, how I'm going to deal with it, whether I'm going to take it to the Father or not. I skip that most vital step. Satan's over here saying, go to the party. Go straight to the pity party. The woe is me syndrome. I'm telling you, Satan camps out on my shoulder. He's speaking in my, do this. It'll make you feel better. How many people have ever found joy in a pity party? I haven't. I assume that no one else has either. He says, consider it joy when you encounter various trials. Now that's a little bit different step. Not just the consideration, the perception of how you're understanding the event, but he says this, count it as joy. Now, wait a minute. When I got a problem in my life, I'm supposed to find joy in it. How in the world is that supposed to happen? Glad you ask. Hebrews shows Jesus who said, for the joy laid before him, he endured the cross. So was the cross joyful for Jesus? Did he want the cross? Let me tell you what. He pleaded with sweat drops of blood, asking God, don't let it happen. But Jesus rose above the situation. And he said, this, out of love, is right for the people of this world. I don't like to get away from my situation too much. It's comfortable in my situation. God calls us to a higher plane of thought. A thought where we get outside of ourselves. I'd really like that. Trials are coming in your life. Maybe right now things are peaceful. Maybe you feel pretty good about your life circumstances. Right? Not everybody in here does. I guarantee it. John 16, verse 33 says that in this world we will have troubles. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. Trials and tribulation will come our way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. Make sure that none of you suffers as murderers or thieves or evildoers or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but it is to the glory of His name. I want to tell you something. Here in the last year, I went through a terrible ordeal that you know about. I had a terrible marriage problem. But here's the truth. If I camp out on that and I do the pity party thing, I turn inward and it does no one any good. But if I take that experience and I use it to help someone else, then God's glory is being worked through it. You see? And that's what I've chosen to do. To be open and honest about it. To let what burdened me down so deeply and hurt tremendously, I've chosen to take that horrible experience and use it to glorify God. Can't lose with that deal, can I? Because I'm trying to see through God's eyes. There's real perception for it. How do you perceive your problems? How do you understand them? Joy can fill our hearts because we know that God's in control. If you ever doubt how much God's in control, go read Isaiah chapter 40. It's Camp Town, USA for God's in Control banner, okay? Who's weighed the mountains and the scales? Who's done this? The answer is God. God's over all, through all, in all. He's in control. Isaiah chapter 40 is saying, listen, in case you missed this thing, God is sovereign. What a wonderful word. He is all-powerful and in charge. I need that, don't you? Because you know what? Every time I think that I can run things in my life, they fall apart. But every time I ask God to handle it, He handles it. Doesn't always come out. That doesn't mean that it always comes out the way I think it ought to. But it comes out right according to His plan and purpose. Romans chapter 8. Trials strengthen us. You know, I think somebody said this morning, maybe in class, whatever doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Have you heard that? There's a lot of truth to that. Testing of our faith, the text meant, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, I want you to know something. God does not tempt, if you go on and read in the book of James, but God tests. Why is that? How many of you like taking tests in school? Colton, you like tests? Brian, you like tests? Anybody here like taking tests? That's an open question, but most of all, we don't like to be tested. This alludes to the fact that God's the one that tests in your life. That means this: God creates some circumstances by whereby you can grow, and He puts them in your path. Is that an inactive God that sits on the rim of the universe saying, "Let me know when y'all are done"? No. God plans out stuff in your life for your growth. He puts tests out there for you. Can you think of some ways that God's been laying some tests out in front of your life lately? Probably most of us. What are we going to do with that? What happens when you're unprepared for a test? Ryan, what happens? You fail. You get an F. You don't do good. You're not ready. God's going to test you. Don't even think for a moment He won't. Why would God want to test us? It'd make us grow. I'm concerned about the growth of my children. Aren't you concerned about the growth of your children? And if you don't have children, you understand the principle, right? I put stuff out there for my kids to do, and they say, "I don't want to do this, Dad. I don't want to do this." Learn how to do this. I might mess it up. Mess it up and learn from it. You see what I'm saying? God puts things like that in our life. Now, how do we recognize the tests when they come along? If you're like me, you don't really recognize them until after they're finished. Which means you've got to be on our A game. It's said, I love this expression. I've said it here before. I'm going to say it again. People are like tea bags. You don't know what they're made of till you put them in hot water. You know what I'm saying? Tests help us to grow. When we endure a test, we grow. I think about all the time as you read specifically the first part of the book of Acts. You read about the church suffering over and over and over. But you also read the result of it. They grew. Growed. They did something. They matured. God watches over us. We might think sometimes that we have too much to bear. We do think sometimes we have too much to bear. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God won't put any more in front of us than we can handle. Dan's interpretation. He won't lay more on our plate than we're able to deal with. Now, sometimes I've said, "You must know way more than I do because I'm not able to." You ever felt like that? This is too much on my plate. But God knows everything, and we trust in Him. We've got to get up when we fall down. Can you imagine a baby who takes his first step and he falls to the floor and says, "That's it. I ain't walking no more. Make me a wheelchair. Bring my wheelchair out here. I'm not going to do this anymore." We've got to get up. If we fail in our trials, and we will, we've got to confess our failures. Dale Carnegie, in his book on worry and stress, which I just absolutely love, makes this statement. It seems to be biblical in nature. He says, "We can't fix what we won't admit." You see the positive side of that. We've got to confess our sins, confess those shortnesses, because it's only when we confess them that we have forgiveness for them, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We got to get back up on the horse and try again. You know, there was a time, I'm pretty stubborn. I know y'all are going, "Wow, really? I'm really, really stubborn. I don't quit anything." but I quit one time. My neighbor had a horse. It was a horse from the dark side. I'd never ridden a horse until Carla put me on this horse. And this horse from Hades took off running. And here, I'm not even on a saddle. I'm holding on to the hair. You know, I'm doing the Indian gig. There, this horse. And you know what? Let me tell you what that horse did. This is true. That horse ran under a tree limb on purpose to knock me off. And I have not been on a horse since. True story. Ain't going to do it. I got burned once. I'm not going to do it again. Do we get that away? Maybe that's okay with the horse, okay? But there are other areas in our life where we can't do that. We've got to really think about the direction that God wants us to move in and get back up and try again and not just stay down. Verse 4 in our text says, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How do you get endurance? King James Version uses steadfastness, another good word. How do you get that? How do you build strength for endurance? Well, in high school, when I was fitting into the letter jacket, we were lifting weights. Oh boy, if you lifted enough weights, you got a t-shirt. My first t-shirt said I was in the 150-pound club. That did not mean I weighed 150 pounds. Only when I was born, I weighed 150 pounds. That meant I bench press 150 pounds. Then they had a 200-pound t-shirt. I got the 200-pound shirt. I'd wear that thing to school, the 200-pound club. I even got to the 300-pound club, and I even got more, but they didn't have t-shirts for it. Okay? That working of the muscles produce physical strength. Working of your spiritual muscles produces spiritual strength. And when you understand the difficulties in your life right, when you make it through the tests that God lays before you, you're creating spiritual strength. So when the next round of trials come along, you don't find yourself in the bar ditch covered with mud. Been there, know all about it. You know what I'm saying? I like it. Let's see here. Verse 12 adds a little bit of something to this. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When we persevere, then we become approved. As he says back in verse 4, that's when we reach the perfection and completeness of God's intention. I'm a far cry from being perfect. It would take a big book to write down all my difficulties. But you know what? 26 years ago, when I wore that letter jacket, I had things going on a lot better physically than I do now. But I have choices every day. I could lose enough weight to fit in that letter jacket just fine if I chose to. If I get my mindset right about what the things are happening around me, that's when God brings it to completion toward His will and towards His purpose and towards His plan. And you know the thing that I've learned? God works through those things in my life toward the use of His will and me helping other people. Nothing like sitting down with somebody who's struggling and saying, you know what? I've been there. I understand. All of you have that, by the way. Different times you come to me and help me out with it. Sometimes I've come to you and helped you out with it. How do you perceive the kingdom? How do you perceive God working in your life? Are your troubles, do you feel unique that you're the only one that has troubles? Do you have the feeling sometimes that the troubles, that nobody's paying attention to? Do you have a little bit of the Job syndrome going? Or does the Job friends kick in? Or the perception is not right. I'll tell you right now, church, I struggle with perception. I can't seem to, every day, I wake up with the knowledge of the Scripture, and every day I still got to fight the battle. Are you there? Do you know what I'm talking about? My encouragement for you tonight is don't quit the battle. I look in this room right now, and there are people who ought to be sitting here that's not. There are people who have left the church. Their life struggle's got to be so much that they give up on it. I can count them in vast numbers. Will it be you next? I'd like to say not on my watch, but it's not my ability to help that. It's God's. And if you lay that before God, if you give that to God, then the peace which surpasses understanding will what? Will guard your hearts and your mind. I like having a guard. I'll never be famous enough to have an actual bodyguard. Who's that guy? Get out of my way. I've got a guard of a serious nature. I've got the guard of God's peace in my life when I scope my perception to an understanding of who God is and how He works in my life. I hope that that's encouraged you in some way this evening. Maybe there's somebody here this evening as we close that feels encumbered by the stress in their life. Maybe there's something that just got to you that you just don't know how to deal with, and you just need to say, help, or help God, I lay this at your feet. You know your situation. You know if you've let your perception get out of bound. The invitation's yours this evening as we stand and as we sing.